Today on Real Radio.
God does that. He wakes people up and then you get bold because you know him. It's not a boldness and arrogance. It's a boldness by revelation. It's, listen, I've got something to say. I used to say something. It was empty, but now I got something to say. And God changes your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been in a series within a series that emphasizes the great hopes and promises for the New Testament believer. And we're talking about what the believer, left to his own devices, could never accomplish. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing with more in his series of lessons taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's called Nothing Can Be Greater.
Who battles with pride in this church right now? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you are lying? Raise your hands. I mean, come on. Every one of us battle with pride. It may, listen, as Christians, it may not be as strong as it once was, but we still battle with it. When, listen, if somebody says something that hurts your feelings, you know why your feelings get hurt? Because of pride. If they say, man, you're such a jerk, you're an absolute idiot. If you didn't have any pride, you would say, isn't that true? I just couldn't agree with you more. Right? Somebody says, man, you know, you're so ugly. I mean, look at you. If you had no pride, you would say, oh, isn't it so true? I am just so, so ugly. But that's not what happens. Well, what do you mean? I can't believe it. You know, but why? Pride. And when we begin to think, well, I'm okay with God, I'm doing pretty good, that comes from pride. No, we need Jesus Christ. What could be greater than to receive his free gift? In Acts chapter 10, verse 42. By the way, this is Peter. Remember Peter being a lawful Jew, faithful Hebrew, all his life, his personal veil had fallen off. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, the Bible says, and he commanded us to preach, says Peter, to the people, and to testify that it is he, that is Christ, who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Did you know that? Jesus will be the one who judges the living and the dead someday. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him, that is, puts their faith in him, will receive the remission of sins. Wow. That, listen, it's not just saying Jesus lived and died, and it's not just you saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. The word means much more than that. It means to believe that you have faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation plus nothing. And from that, you're liberated and set free. Then you can see. When the Bible says, number one, look at verse 12, since we have such boldness, or such hope, I should say. That is an amazing thing. The word is in the present tense now. We have this hope now. It is a hope. Every Christian should be able to assent to or agree with or say, that's true in my life. I confess that's true. Is that as a believer, I have such hope. And remember, it's not a hope that you wish for. It's a hope that is a concrete hope. And I sympathize. Listen, I really do sympathize with non-Christians or maybe legalists, maybe people who are, maybe they've even grown up in the church, but they've never been born again, as Jesus put it. And they might even flow in and out of church. Or maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian, or you know Christians and you hear them talk. And I sympathize with you when you hear them say things like this to one another. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you understand that is absolute? That might as well be Latin to somebody. I read this week. This has nothing to do with the Bible study. I read this week. It said, Latin is dead as dead can be. First it killed the Romans, and now it's killing me. from a anyway, that you can use that in your Latin class. It means nothing. When somebody says, praise the Lord, listen, what does that mean? And I have to confess, Christians use that word too loosely. Or the Lord, listen, the Lord spoke to me, and listen, I know what you mean. You know what you mean, but a non-believer does not know what you mean. They think, loony, hears from God. We're guilty of speaking Christianese in a non-Christian world. We need to be careful. Non-believers don't get it, but one of the things I'm certain they don't get, and imagine in a hospital or something like that, when the doctor or the nurse gives them that bad news and the Christian says, well, you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says, naked I came and naked I go. Blessed be the name of God. Or we say things like, well, it's in the hands of the Lord. We look like lunatics to people who cannot see. We look crazy to people who have never had their eyes opened. We have such a confidence that it's not conjured up. It's a reality. And what do we say about that? Do we apologize for it? No. Why? Because it spawns boldness of speech. It spawns boldness of speech. I have seen Christians, look, you're looking at one of them, who was the most timid person until Jesus got a hold of my life or maybe your life. Not only is that true for my life, but I grew up not speaking to people because I stuttered so bad. I didn't talk to people. I avoided people at all costs because why would I get near somebody? I stuttered so terribly. And then I became a Christian and I still stuttered. I asked my wife to marry me. How did I do it? I stuttered. She was patient, waiting. And yes, and uh-huh. Yes! Yikes! But I got to tell you, man, I always wanted to be quiet before I was a Christian. And then when I became a Christian, I don't know about you guys, but I cheated in school all my life. I'm able to take pictures with my eyes. I'm able to hear something, and I never forget it. And so I just sat in class. I never opened a book unless I wanted to take a picture in my mind of something I needed for the test. So at the end of the month, I just spit up the answers. And by the way, that is cheating, you know. You can regurgitate anything and never come to knowing nothing. This is a dangerous truth. And then I got to become a Christian, and I got a Bible. And for the first time, I began reading the Bible, and I read the Bible. And then I wanted to read good Christian books, and I started reading books. I'd never finished a book in my life until I became a Christian. Why? Because God grabs a hold of you, and He opens your eyes so you can see. And you want to take in everything that He has done. And you want to learn about weather. You want to learn about bugs. You want to learn about hearts and brains and people and animals. Why? Because it's all God's doing. It's awesome. God does that. He wakes people up and then you get bold because you know Him. It's not a boldness and arrogance. It's a boldness by revelation. It's, listen, I've got something to say. I used to say something. It was empty. But now I got something to say. And God changes your life. At the death of Jesus, the veil, listen, the veil of the temple was torn, the Bible says, from top to bottom at the death of Jesus Christ. And that place was opened up there in Jerusalem, that temple. Why? What was God doing? God was showing us that by the offering of Jesus Christ, this hope and this boldness was made accessible now to all people. For thousands of years, what the priest only had access to, when Jesus died, the veil was torn open, signifying that everyone's got access to God, and that should breed boldness in your life. And I understand we all have different personalities, and boldness is going to be lived out differently. But the Bible is true, and you're going to have a boldness. You might be a quiet man, but you're on the golf course, and now you start telling your buddies about Jesus. You may be a teacher in the classroom, and you might be now boiling up on the inside, I've got something to say. And in that teacher's lounge or whatever, you begin to mention things about Jesus. And you're unashamed. It's awesome. This word great before boldness is a word that we all need to know about. It means vast. It means abundant, excessive. It means multiplied many times. Think of the high priest, you guys, going into the Holy of Holies. Did he have that kind of excessive boldness? Have you read your Old Testament? The guy, listen, the high priest went in once a year. Are you guys with me? He went in once a year into the Holy of Holies, and he's got his blood offering because he's a sinner too. And the priest is making his way, and the children of Israel would tie a rope around his ankle. And on the edge of his garment, he had bells, little tinkly bells. And when he would walk in, they would, imagine, let out more line. Ching, 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 ching. More line. He gets in there. And he offers up before the Holy of Holies an offering for the nation and for himself once a year, the Day of Atonement. And if that priest was living in sin, known sin, the Bible says God would consume the dude on the spot. Poof! And then, listen, all the people outside are listening. Have you heard anything for a while? I haven't heard a thing. Have you heard something that sounds like a bell? Nothing. I heard little bells, and then I heard, boom, a bunch of bells. And then I haven't heard no bells since. Can you imagine? Reel them in. They reel the guy in, and he comes out, man. The guy's fried. The Bible says we now, because Jesus went into such a place in heaven, offered up his own blood as our great high priest, who's perfect, we get to enter into the presence of God with boldness. We don't have to tiptoe in. You say, what if they found the Ark of the Covenant? What if Indiana Jones and Steven Spielberg found it? What would happen? Are you ready? Absolutely nothing. If the Ark of the Covenant was right here in this sanctuary, you could touch it, take pictures of it, sit on it. Nothing. The Bible says it was only a shadow, a model, a type of that which is in heaven. And that economy now with God is gone. Jesus has come. It's an amazing, awesome thing. And then the word boldness, the word in the original language means, here it is, a plain outspokenness, a frankness. The word means a directness, all wrapped in a confidence. And the priest never had that either. Do you remember when Jesus was preaching and teaching? What did the people say? They said, how is it that this man speaks with such authority, not like the priests, the scribes, and the Sadducees and Pharisees of Israel? Why? Amazing. Because he was, in fact, the very word of God. And now the Bible tells us, is this great news, church? The Bible tells us that we have this boldness if we would just believe God's word. That we have this confidence, that we don't need to tiptoe around regarding our faith. The world is dying right now because, listen, politicians, political correctness has said, keep your faith to yourself. Listen, I want to encourage you in holy civil disobedience. When the world tells you, don't talk about Jesus, don't pray in Jesus' name, sit in your corner, and we'll wait for you to die to get off this world scene. Listen, that's when you lovingly, graciously, but firmly, boldly stand up and say, listen, is it rather well for me to obey God or man? You decide. But as for me, I will obey the Lord. And you live for God everywhere. I had somebody tell me recently, Pastor, if I were to stand up like you keep challenging us to do, then I would be removed from our union, and then I wouldn't have any retirement. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. Don't you think God is bigger than your retirement program? Some people may wonder if God is bigger than their union. Oh, God is bigger. We need to be careful, all of us, that we fear God more than anything of this earth. And it's not like you got to. Now get out there tomorrow and fear the Lord. No, because this is true, it ought to bubble up out of you. Man, okay, that's true. That's true. The Bible's true. Lord, tomorrow when you pull up to your company, your office, the work site, whatever, or you pull up to the kid's crib, dear Jesus, give me the wisdom and the boldness to burp this baby in Jesus' name. Or whatever it might be. What is your challenge tomorrow? Listen, attack it in the boldness of God. Not obnoxiously, inside a deep, absolute confidence. The second thing is this, being able to see the Word of God, to see it. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 14, you guys all know it, in the beginning, that is of creation, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The only honored, the only preeminent, the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's nothing greater, my friend, than being able to see the Word of God. And listen, here's the big deal. We get right down now to where the rubber meets the road. Why in the world, listen carefully, why is it that there are extremely well-educated people who don't believe in God? And why is it that there are extremely well-educated people who do believe in God? You ever thought about that? How can Sir Isaac Newton believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and say and honor that the Bible is the literal Word of God given to man, who studied the book of Daniel, for example, was his favorite book of the Bible, Sir Isaac Newton? Are you smarter than Newton? But he believed in Christ. He believed in Jesus. Michelangelo believed in Christ, believed in God, believed in the Bible. Are you smarter than him? Well, wait a minute. There's a lot of, what about Bertrand Russell? And what about Richard Dawkins? And what about all these others? Bright guys, no doubt. My argument is this. You got smart guys who don't believe in God and smart guys who do. What does that mean if you're in a logic class? Everybody knows this. If you've taken a logic course, the reason why is that it has nothing to do with education. Did you get that? It has nothing to do with education. On the heels of the Enlightenment, or I should say in the early on opening throes of the Enlightenment, some people began to say, science will disprove God. Science will make God obsolete. Who said that? Every one of the people who didn't believe in God, who were very bright guys. The other guys who believed in God wound up concluding, wow, science gets me all excited because it shows me the details of how my God works. It's not education. It's what you do with the light that's in front of you. Can you see? How do you know you can see? When you look at the universe, when you take the Hubble and examine the intricacies of deep space, and you pull away from that incredible telescope, and then you say, oh my goodness, how wonderful is nothingness? How fantastic is accident? How glorious is meaningless? Or do you pull away from that telescope and say, this is so intricately designed, there must be a creator. There must be an engineer behind it all. And I'll argue this as I have in the past. There's nothing you can look at in this world that does not display an engineer. The Word of God. The Bible says here, verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is, that is, can only be taken away in Christ. But even to this day, verse 15 says, when Moses is read, specifically Paul is referring to the first five books of the Bible, a veil lies on their hearts. That there's a blindness. Their eyes and minds have been blinded. When somebody hears the gospel, some accept and some reject. Why? It has nothing to do with education. It has to do with the position of your heart. Why are you a believer? Every Christian ought to be able to define and to defend why they're a believer. And in the same token, if you're not a believer, why are you not a believer? Church, listen, I want to mobilize you this morning and encourage you. The next time you talk to somebody who doesn't believe in God, will you ask them the most terrifying question they dread and pray to the God of nothing that you never ask? And here's the question. The next time somebody says, I don't believe in God, are you ready? Any five-year-old can do this. Ask them, why? You'll stump them. They'll start to vomit or regurgitate answers that have been given to them. Mark my words, they're flawed. They will quickly begin to show you a faith placed in a dangerous place that might be a faith even greater than your own. Because you believe, and your faith is based upon fact. They believe on a dream, on wishful thinking. But they will sound like it's true. They will sound like it's real. Listen, I'll put this out before you today. I believe that unless you're able to see the Word of God, and God will do that, you can't see at all. Nicodemus was blind, was he not? See, Nicodemus wasn't blind. Oh, he was blind. It wasn't until he observed and watched closely the ministry of Jesus that we know at the cross Nicodemus came. That same veil remains upon the eyes of many people today, and the context is speaking of the Jewish people today. Why don't more people believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ? Why don't they believe more? He's Jewish. He's from their line. The God of the Bible is Jewish. Did you know that? People will ask me, my ring, I have a ring. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God, in Hebrew on my finger. And I've been on flights before, or airports before, at kiosks before, and somebody will say, oh, are you Hebrew? Are you a Jew? I said, no, I'm not, but my God is. It always freaks them out. Yeah, I'm a Gentile, but my God's Jewish.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Nothing Can Be Greater, speaking of the wonderful hopes and promises that apply only to the true believer. Nothing Can Be Greater is really a series within a series taken from a section in Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack, there's an event coming up in just the next few days, and you're going to be part of it?
Well, David, that's exactly right. We're very excited about this opportunity. I've had a chance to speak at this event before. This is the Understanding the Times Conference. It's hosted by Olive Tree Ministries in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the dates of this conference is going to be October 2nd and 3rd.
Okay.
And the location is going to be at the wonderful facilities of Grace Church. And that's 9301 Eden Prairie Road in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And I'm really, really just honored and blessed to be among some of the speakers. Pastor Robert Jeffers from the church there in Dallas, Texas. Michelle Bachman. Many of you know her from her political positions and her political office, but she loves the Lord Jesus, and she can bring an amazing word to us. And then my good friend, we were able to get Amir Sarfati.
I love Amir.
Over from Israel. He'll be with us. And so it's going to be a tremendous weekend. You know, Davey, this is the largest Bible prophecy teaching event in America that I know of. Some 4,000 or 5,000 people will be in attendance. And listen, I hope you come on out. I'll be speaking on Friday night at 7 o'clock in the evening and Saturday again at 2:30 in the afternoon. But the whole weekend, no doubt, is going to be a tremendous time. That's Understanding the Times Prophecy Conference hosted by Olive Tree Ministries. And we're just indebted to Jan Markell and the great work that she's doing. So come on out and join us. Look forward to seeing you in the greater Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Okay, remember that you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org to get all the info. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.